on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting for 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Friday morning Space Show program. It's Friday morning here in California, and I am your host, David Livingston, and we have a really good program. I say this all the time, but I really do mean it all the time, too. This program has been several years in the making, so I'm very excited to be able to introduce you to our guest in just a minute and to tell you about it and tell you why. It's been several years in the making. But first, a couple of very quick announcements. We're on the 60-minute format today. Also, remember, we have a Sunday program with Space Attorney Wayne White, who has finalized his Space Pioneer Act. And we'll talk about the final version and what that is all about. But for today, again, 60-minute format, and we hope you'll give us a call. Remember, we are a talk show, so we do want your phone calls at 1-866-687-7223. In addition, and by the way, that is toll-free, our newsletter for the week is up on the website, upper right corner, but it gets updated tomorrow, which is also when I will update programs appearing for next week. Everything we do is archived on the Space Show, so you can listen right off of the website or quickly download programs. We have a store, and you can get there by clicking on the Pepper Pictures Listening to the Space Show, and that takes you into our Cafe Press Space Show Logoware store. Your feedback is always welcome about the store, and hopefully you'll find some items of interest, and we look forward to that. There's a Listen Live button in the upper left of the homepage, thespaceshow.com. So this tells you how to listen to the live broadcast, which is what we're doing now. Compressed MP3s, which is what we use for archives on our website, plus our podcasts. Now, a word about podcasting. Apparently, the problem that I have been talking about on Overcast for all of the Apple users, if they use Overcast, was an Overcast problem. And they never did reply to any of my customer service requests, but a couple of listeners have now reported that they seem to have fixed the problem where Space Show programs are now archiving and playing in full, and I have not had a chance to check it myself, but I'm getting this report from several listeners, and apparently this was a glitch on their system, and it has been repaired, so if you are an Overcast user and you're on an Apple product, that should be working again. I wish they would have sent out even a boilerplate customer service note saying there's a problem, especially to the people who reported it. But at least they seem to have fixed it, so thank God for small favors, right? The other thing I point out is that, remember, the Space Show is a 501c3 nonprofit with one ONE Giant Leap Foundation, and we need your financial support and help. Listeners, just like those of you listening to the show, make this show possible, make guests like today possible. As a 501c3 nonprofit, remember, if you're a federal U.S. taxpayer, you get a tax deduction for your gift, and the same is true if you're a California taxpayer. So we certainly do appreciate your support. We do need it. You can find out more about us at onegiantleapfoundation.org. If you want to use PayPal, that's the best way to support us. There's a big PayPal link at the top of our homepage. If you're old school and would like to use a check, it's made payable to One Giant Leap Foundation. It mails to Box 95, Tiburon, T-I-B-U-R-O-N, California, 94920. And we certainly do thank you for your support. We also do have the sponsors. Don't forget, this is a shorter format show, so we just shout out to our great sponsors who also have the banner ads running across our homepage, Northrop Grumman, the Space Foundation, Astrox, AIAA, Moonwords, Celestis, the National Space Society. And we do have some room for sponsors for the balance of the year. If you're interested in our sponsor program, email me and let me know. Your sponsor comment gets lots and lots of usage and stays on the program even through the archives. So, you know, it could be played 10 years from now. So, again, we couldn't be doing the show without our great sponsors. And if you're interested, please call us or, excuse me, email us. That's better. drspace@thespaceshow.com. And once again, we thank Northrop Grumman, the Space Foundation, Astrox, AIAA, Moonwords, Celestis, and the National Space Society. Well, today we're going to talk about space in Africa with the managing director of Space in Africa, and hopefully I get his name correct, Temedayo Onoisen. And if I mess that up, Temedayo, I apologize profusely. He is the managing director of Space in Africa, the leading analytics and consulting company focusing on the African space and satellite industry. He advises governments and commercial space players in the African space industry value chain. He's a TEDx speaker and regularly appears on various media commenting on African space program. He has a master's degree in satellite applications from the University in Glasgow, the UK. And he's currently a PhD student at the University of Delaware. And we wanted to do this show for a couple of years, but we had to wait until he had access to a quality phone line using a cell phone with him in Africa. We tested it many times. Just did not work out. But he is in Delaware working on his PhD. He's got a great phone connection. And Temedayo, it's a long time coming, but welcome to the Space Show. How are you today?
Thank you very much, David. I'm doing fine. How are you, too?
Doing very, very well. Introduce us to space in Africa. What are we talking about? Do all African countries have a space presence? Just a few? Help us to get the lay of the continent, so to speak.
Thank you very much. So to start with a little bit about space in Africa, we're a private analytics and consulting company focusing in the African space and satellite industry value chain. We work with government to, you know, shape policies, implement projects. We work with commercial space players to explore different business opportunities in the industry value chain. And, you know, talking about the African space industry generally, let me start with an overview. I know a lot of people don't think, you know, Africa has a space program or something, but a couple of countries in Africa have been developing a space program for a while. Presently, 13 African countries have been able to launch a satellite in space. Mauritius launched its first satellite yesterday, and they became the 13th African country to do that. Other countries include Nigeria, South Africa, Egypt, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Rwanda, Kenya, and, okay, I've lost count. but, you know, all of these countries have also been able to, you know, launch a satellite into space. About 20 countries have some sort of space program. Some have been able to set up national space policy. In fact, as we're talking, today Namibia launched its national space policy, you know, joining the League of African Countries with a national space policy. And, you know, this is to increase its efforts in capitalizing on space technologies and data to address different problems in the country. According to a market analysis that was done in 2019, the African space and satellite industry generates about $7.37 billion in revenue annually. And it is expected that by 2024, the number would go to over $10 billion in annual revenue. Majority of its revenue, you know, come from Earth observation, fixed satellite services, mobile satellite services, satellite TV, you know, budget from some of these countries, satellite components manufacturing, and all of that. Presently, about 44 satellites have been launched by all of these countries. It is estimated that by 2024, the number of these satellites that have been launched by African countries would be about 150, as you know, a lot of satellite projects are currently under development by some of these countries, and it is also estimated that by 2024, more than 20 African countries would have launched at least one satellite into space. Majority of this development that we're seeing and this growth that we're seeing, you know, they're like recent developments. So African countries are now beginning to see space industry as an important industry for them to actually play in. We also have the African Union Commission, you know, trying to drive a continental African space program. They started working on the African space policy and strategy several years ago, and you know, this has been approved by the African Union Commission. Egypt, as a country, has been selected to host the space agency with, you know, a starting budget of $10 million. Right now, the commission is still working on some background work in order to set up the agency. And, you know, we expect that by next year, the agency would begin operating. Currently, African countries budget over $500 million annually for their space program. This is, you know, mostly spent on, you know, space agency management as well as, you know, small-scale projects such as development of small satellite capacity development programs and all of that. And, you know, talking about the level of development in some of these countries now, all of these satellites were obviously launched outside of Africa. Africa does not have, you know, the capacity to put its satellites into space. We have countries like Nigeria and South Africa working on rocket technology development, hoping that, you know, sometimes in the future they would be able to place this the payload into space by themselves. And in terms of satellite technology development, few of the countries are able to, you know, manufacture some of these technologies. We have countries like Egypt, like Algeria, like South Africa that have been able to demonstrate the capabilities in, you know, building small satellite technologies in their country. And then we have, you know, all other countries like Rwanda, like Kenya, like Ghana and the like, you know, that are working with, you know, foreign partners, mostly Japan, you know, to develop capacity building around satellite projects. While they are unable to, they're currently unable to develop their technology, they are investing heavily in capacity development program so that their engineers can actually learn how to do some of this stuff. And, you know, looking at the commercial segment of the industry, especially, you know, from the African scene, we have a lot of companies that are operating in the industry value chain. The way we define the new space, you know, ecosystem in Africa is, you know, we have few companies that are, you know, developing upstream technology. So these are companies that are, you know, developing satellite components, and the like. We have about 45 of these kind of companies across Africa. Majority of them are based in South Africa. And then we have a lot of, you know, over 200 downstream companies across the continent. So these are companies that are, you know, capitalizing on space technologies, to address, you know, problems in like different, sector. So they're mostly like Earth observation, remote sensing and GIS companies that are, addressing problems in the system management and agriculture, in urban development, and, you know, maritime and various industry. So this is, you know, a general overview of what is going on around space industry in Africa.
If you don't have a launch industry, number one, are any of the countries building a small launch industry for these more dedicated smaller satellites, CubeSats? And where do you usually launch, and on what rockets? Are you usually going with European rockets or Russian rockets? What's happening? Or even Chinese, maybe?
Good question. So to answer that, let me start from let me take a step backwards. So when it comes to, you know, international partnership, you know, that has actually been very instrumental in developing the space ecosystem in Africa. In the past, Europe was, you know, Europe was like a fundamental partner to Africa when it comes to developing, whether it's developing satellites and launching some of these payloads into space. So there were, you know, a lot of projects that went on with France, with the UK, even Russia. You know, but recently, so for example, out of all the 44 satellites that have been launched, only one of those satellites was actually built in the U.S. You know, the rest were either, you know, built in, like, the African country or, like, you know, built somewhere in Asia, maybe Japan or China, or built in Europe. Only one of them was actually built in the U.S. But recently, in recent years, we've seen China trying to, you know, actually dominate the market. So China is now working with a lot of African countries to develop, you know, the satellite technologies. They've worked with Egypt, they've worked with Nigeria, they're working with Ethiopia, and, you know, the establishing collaboration with, like, you know, different countries in Africa. Europe is sort of like taking a step back. You know, why China is, like, going all out. And, you know, looking at the dynamics of, you know, what kind of technologies have been developed, majority of the satellites that have been launched so far are below 500 kg. So when I say majority, I mean 26 of the 44 satellites, you know, are below 500 kg. Only 16 of these satellites, okay, let me get the numbers straight. 28 satellites are actually below 500 kg, and you have 16 satellites that are over 1,000 kg. So, and then a lot of the new countries that are also trying to develop satellites now, they are beginning to see small satellites, especially CubeSats, as a good entry point. So you've got, you know, countries like Ghana, countries like Kenya, countries like Rwanda. So all of these countries, you know, their first satellite were CubeSat. And then you also have a lot of countries that are working on their first satellite project. As we're talking, countries like Zimbabwe, countries like, you know, Botswana, countries like Burkina Faso, all of these countries are also, and then the satellite that Tunisia also launched its first satellite earlier this year, that was also a CubeSat. So, you know, some of these countries are beginning to see CubeSats as, you know, a way of, you know, starting whatever space program that they're trying to develop. In terms of the rockets that, you know, they mostly use, so, you know, because the way launch contracts, you know, the way they are framed, you know, it's a bit complicated. Sometimes, you can see, like, some satellite projects developed maybe by Japan, you know, that still go on board, you know, an American rocket or something. So, but we have seen, so looking at the partners that are working with these countries to develop these projects are mostly European partners and, like, Asian countries, so whether it's China or Japan. A lot of the satellites, some of the popular rockets have been, like, the Vega rockets, you know, Falcon 9, you know, because some of these CubeSats are also, like, deployed from the International Space Station. So so that's, like, you know, the overview of how that works.
You have Jane, J-A-N-E, is in Denver, Colorado, with an email, and said, I'm curious as to the advanced educational level for space-related topics such as aerospace engineering, astrophysics, etc. Can the people in Africa get this education at a graduate school level in Africa, or do they usually go to universities in Europe, or in your case, you're at a university in the United States?
Good question. So, you know, continent-wise, the level of education is low. There are very few institutions that offer graduate degree program in this in space. In fact, I mean, you can even almost count universities. Majority of them are in South Africa. So in South Africa, you could get a master's degree in some of this field. When it comes to astronomy and astrophysics, there are like more universities that offer, you know, graduate level programs in this. You know, astronomy, you know, is a different ballgame in Africa. You know, astronomy has been very fine. Even majority of the countries that do not have like satellite program, they've got astronomy program and they're investing heavily in that. So there are a lot of universities across the continent that are offering, you know, graduate program in astronomy and astrophysics. But when it comes to, you know, maybe aerospace engineering, there are, you know, there are universities that offer a conventional degree in maybe electrical and electronics engineering or, you know, computer science and all of that. But, you know, specialized programs in this field, there are very few universities that are doing that. So, and that is why, majority of Africans that really want to like work in the industry, oftentimes they have to go outside of Africa. So either they go to Europe or they go to Asia or some of them come to America.
Interesting. So, you mentioned the launching services. For example, have any African payloads been launched on SpaceX? That would be a question that I would have. Has that happened, or you're mostly using other launchers? I don't know, maybe they're lower in cost, although SpaceX seems to have really low cost, but getting there, of course, is costly.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the satellites that were deployed from the International Space Station, SpaceX has, Falcon 9, you know, has always been like the way to get that into space. So, but when you look at, you know, the bigger satellites, there was an agreement, SpaceX signed an agreement with, with Egypt a couple of years ago to launch one of their large payloads, which is a communication satellite. So yes, SpaceX is, we have a few American companies that are beginning to see Africa as, you know, a good destination to the space business. Before now, majority of these companies, launch providers, they don't look at Africa. We're even seeing interest from, you know, companies like, Virgin Orbit trying to, you know, strike deals in Africa to put some of its payload into space. But before now, it used to be majorly European countries and, you know, China or Japan.
I'll give you an email from a listener that just came in. Todd in San Diego sent you an email. And he said, is space a big thing among the African public? Are students inspired and motivated to go into space careers and space fields? Do you attract a lot of students in the discipline, or is it not so popular yet?
Yeah, I think the educational, you know, the outreach level is very low. This is actually one of the reasons why we started space in Africa, because you have people outside of Africa that do not know that Africa has a space program. And then you have people within Africa that are also, you know, that are also not aware that there is any space program going on in the continent. So the answer to that question is the level of outreach is very low. I think majority of the agencies mostly focus on, you know, maybe developing the technologies, and they don't, they don't pay much attention to public outreach, to, you know, trying to maybe inspire the next generation or something. A few of them have, you know, they have some sort of standard for their educational outreach program, mostly to universities and high schools and the like. But generally, I mean, we've seen cases of an African country launch a satellite and, you know, citizens of the countries are not even aware of that. So, yeah, the level is low, but we're hoping that that will improve in the near future. To answer your previous rocket of, you know, what's the most, popular rocket type that we've seen, a couple of satellites were launched, on the PSLV rocket, Cosmos rocket, Vega, Soyuz, Long March, Ariane, Strela, Zenith, Cygnus, Delta, you know, as well as Falcon 9. Falcon 9 launched the Damascus Sat 2, by Egypt, the Ghana Sat 1, the satellites by Kenya, as well as, a satellite by Nigeria. So, but, you know, these are mostly small satellites. SpaceX got the deal for the Egypt, for the NASA 301 satellite that is being developed by Egypt. The satellite is currently being built by Thales Alenia Space, the multi-million dollar satellite, and that is scheduled to be launched by SpaceX next year.
I have another note. Paul is in Seattle, and he said, I recall several years ago that space in Africa closed a rather significant investment round. Can you talk about investment in space in Africa, if that is still a big deal, and are you able to continue to raise money, and who are your investors or contributors?
Good question. yeah, we raised a pre-seed investment in 2019. Our investor was an American. They're based in, our investor was from the U.S. Looking at the general new space ecosystem in Africa, majority of the investment actually come from Europe. Like the companies that are raising investment, majority of the investment are from Europe. We've seen a few companies actually raise decent amount of money. Few millions of dollars, nothing much. Because majority of the companies are very early stage companies that are trying to make revenue around $10 million an annum. But majority of the investments are coming from Europe. Majority of the companies that are raising this investment are in South Africa. You know, I'm talking of the upstream companies here. So that is the way the investment landscape works. We're also seeing some exits. So for example, one of the South African companies called Dragonfly was recently acquired, I think it was last month. It was recently acquired last month. The company was founded, a couple of months ago. They're developing some interesting satellite companies. And they got acquired. And, that's the list of other companies that have been acquired in the ecosystem. Yeah, so the truth is that the new space segment of the industry, the upstream segment, is still at a very early stage. It's attracting little amount of investment, mostly from Europe. A few companies have been able to raise funding from America, just like we did. But majority of investments are in Europe. A lot of these companies are also actually expanding now. So they're trying to set up offices outside of Africa to aid their global operations. Because if you're setting up a company in Africa, you don't want to rely on businesses in Africa. Majority of the revenue that these companies make are from outside of Africa. So in order to aid their businesses, they are, looking at other regions, to set up offices. And Europe has always been the favorite destination for them.
You have Linda is in Tucson, Arizona, with an email. And listeners, let me give out our phone number again. There's still plenty of time, and I know this is Friday morning, but hopefully some of you will give us a call. 1-866-687-7223. Linda says, is human spaceflight even imagined in Africa yet? Do you have a human spaceflight program in any of the countries? I believe that the ISS has attracted astronaut preparation in Africa. Please address human spaceflight for space in Africa.
Thank you very much. Yes, so the fundamental thing is that, you know, space program coming from Africa mostly towards, you know, addressing socioeconomic problems and, you know, capitalizing on the technologies to solve problems. So there are very few space exploration programs. And, you know, it makes sense because, you know, it's going to be difficult for some of these agencies to even raise government investments when, you know, you're trying to tell government that you're spending this huge amount of money trying to send someone into space when, you know, there are, like, other stuff that you could be addressing. So, but in terms of space exploration, Nigeria as a country has declared a plan to send a man to space. They're still at a very early stage in this process. They've not really made much progress around it. Egypt has also announced plans to send an astronaut to the International Space Station, and they're working on this as we're talking. They're currently in the process of, you know, selecting an astronaut for the program. And yeah, so these are, you know, this is the closest that we've come to, you know, an African, you know, government driven space exploration program in Africa.
Where does space tourism rank in this discussion? And given that Elon Musk has roots in South Africa, does that ever come up with space in Africa?
Unfortunately, no. You know, Elon Musk coming from South Africa has never really had any impact or any effect on the ecosystem. Space tourism, I mean, we've seen a few interests, you know, coming from, you know, maybe, you know, Africa, rich people in Africa trying to, I mean, there was a conversation we're having with Iridium Space, for example, trying to, you know, find people that want to go on their space flights and all of that. But, you know, a lot of work has actually not been done around this in Africa. I think the level where the ecosystem is right now is where it's important to, like, you know, increase awareness and, you know, get people to understand that, oh, there is something actually going on in Africa. You know, usually when, even if you go for outreach programs like schools in Africa, and then you're trying to talk about space technologies and all of that, it, you know, what always comes to mind is NASA and NASA and NASA. So it's important for, like, you know, these countries to also, you know, pay more attention to space outreach so that, for example, in Nigeria, if you're talking about space, instead of the people talking about NASA, the people can be talking about the Nigerian Space Agency. You know, the same in South Africa, in Egypt, in Angola, and the like. So, so if this awareness is there, if the outreach level grows to an extent, you know, then people will pay more attention to the industry, and, you know, that will drive interest, that will drive investment, and that will also drive innovation.
Do you see space in Africa in the educational systems changing on any kind of a sort of a rapid base? Do the successes of your countries getting satellites up and space seems to be really exciting in a lot of countries in the world. Is it pushing and driving changes that you like for space in Africa, or is it pretty slow to evolve?
We've seen a lot of, a lot of work that actually coming out of universities in Africa. You know, some of these satellite projects that I've mentioned, for example, were domiciled in the universities in Africa. So whether it is the Kenya satellite, the Ghana satellite, even one of Nigeria's satellites, you know, this project being developed and managed through the university. You know, the same thing with what Namibia is trying to do, what Botswana is doing. Egypt is currently, for example, trying to develop 35 educational satellites and, you know, collaborating with, like, different universities across the country. You know, the agency has been going on a spree, signing MOU with universities across the country to work with them to build, you know, different educational satellites. So, yes, the universities, you know, academic institutions play a very key role in this ecosystem. The challenge for universities in Africa has always been, like, budget, you know, budget issues, because, you know, it's limited, so it really affects, you know, the kind of facility that it can develop. I mean, for example, even though some of these universities are trying to develop satellites, you know, they don't have, like, the right laboratories, they don't have, like, a clean room or, like, an assembly and integration testing facilities and all of these. So there's, like, a need for investment in some of these fundamental technologies. So, I mean, if you look at countries like South Africa and Egypt, you know, Algeria is also working on developing an assembly and integration testing facilities. So some of these countries have engineers. They have trained engineers that can develop some of these technologies. But then the facility to develop these technologies are not available. So, you know, we see, like, a lot of interest coming from companies, you know, across Europe and America, you know, trying to maybe strike satellite projectiles in Africa and all of that. But, you know, this is an important area that most of them are not paying attention to, you know, setting up, you know, helping with facilities, not just, because for most of these countries, too, right now, it's not just about, oh, we want to build a satellite, so we're looking for a contractor to build a satellite for us and, you know, maybe a version of it to launch this payload for us. No, for them now, it's about, okay, we want to build this satellite, but in the process of developing this technology, we want you to walk us through the process so that the next time we want to do this, we should be able to, you know, handle a good part of it. And, you know, this is what has happened in, you know, countries like Algeria, countries like Egypt, you know, when they were developing, when they were starting their space program, you know, they were collaborating with the likes of the UK and Hong and China to develop some of their satellite technologies. But over time, they got their engineers trained, and now they are able to, like, manufacture small satellites in their countries. You know, they are investing heavily in setting up assembly and integration testing facilities so that, you know, the entire process of a small satellite can actually be done in their country. So the only thing they will be looking for after developing the payload is a launch provider that can put it in space.
Okay. I have another email from you. So this is from Kim in Los Angeles. And Kim says, are you seeing space helping people in Africa in their affairs? For example, telemedicine through satellite communications or better farming and agricultural uses made available through GPS, weather satellites, and things like that. Are the benefits of some of these tools starting to show up in people's businesses and everyday lives in Africa?
The short answer is yes. Now, you know, earlier when I was giving the industry overview, I was talking about how there's a lot of downstream companies in Africa, and also I had earlier mentioned how the goal of most of the space programs in Africa is to actually address problems. And so this is, like, the focus of the industry. Take telemedicine, for example, countries like Angola, countries like Nigeria, even South Africa have heavily invested in this. In 2019, when COVID started and, you know, there was a need for testing and all of that, this, you know, this is a technology that was deployed in some of these countries. They capitalized on this. And when you look at all of these agencies also, they are, you know, working and investing heavily in Earth observation programs, you know, capitalizing on satellite data to, you know, address problems in like different industries, from disaster monitoring, you know, to environmental management, to agriculture, and all of that. So these are a lot of projects around this, you know, have, in fact, the primary focus of the space program in Africa is almost like, you know, Earth observation, you know, trying to address all of this program. There are even continentally driven programs, you know, that are also addressing this. An example is the global monitoring of the environment and security project that is being implemented by the African Union Commission and the European Commission. It's a 30 million euro project that has been implemented in 45 African countries. And this project, you know, this project is building on the Copernicus satellite data. You know, the Copernicus repository of data was made available for African countries. And they are capitalizing on this data to, you know, address problems in marine ecosystem, you know, and wildlife monitoring and all of this. So there's a lot of investment that are going on around it across Africa. You know, the national space programs are doing. In fact, in Africa, we see countries that do not have satellites, but they have some sort of space program. And their space program is all about capitalizing on this available satellite data to address problem. An example is Gabon. You know, Gabon has they have an agency for Earth observation that, you know, all they do is, you know, use all of these available satellite data, you know, to address problems in, like, different industries. And then we were also seeing, so this is also an aspect of the industry that is attracting a lot of foreign investment or foreign funding, if I think that's the appropriate term. You know, like, you know, the European Space Agency, for example, funding so many projects, so many Earth observation projects in Africa, European Commission, you know, a lot of projects have been funded. You know, even China is beginning to do something around that. You know, recently, about 17, 18 months ago, you know, they supported Ethiopia with the launch of its first satellite, you know, which was, you know, China's first foreign Earth satellite. You know, they funded the satellite, you know, and then they also helped in setting up the ground station facility in Addis Ababa. You know, all of these, you know, the Earth observation satellite to that is aimed, and the satellite is already helping, you know, the ecosystem in Ethiopia.
Another listener question, Randy's in Phoenix, Arizona, and he says there seems to be a big focus in this country. You've probably seen it being at the University of Delaware for returning to the moon, getting humans back to the moon, space settlement in general, and also plans for humans to go to Mars with SpaceX or even with NASA. Do any of these issues, like space settlement, humans going back to the moon, living or settling on Mars, or maybe in space on an O'Neillian cylinder, do any of these topics get discussed? Do they have any interest or followers throughout Africa?
I mean, yes, there are people that are interested in this subject. You know, Elon Musk, for example, is, you know, he has like a massive followership, and, you know, people like him, people like whatever subject he's talking about, and they're fascinated with the technologies he's developing. But when it comes to like the focus of the space program, of the focus of the investment of African countries, you know, this is not on the radar, to be honest. You know, there is no, right now, there is no country that is thinking or, you know, working around investment in, you know, maybe trying to go to the moon or to the Mars or any of that. You know, none of these countries looking in that direction. You know, in the past 1 or 2 years, we've also had conversation with like a lot of companies from, you know, from the U.S. that are looking at, you know, African countries that are interested in, you know, maybe some sort of payload to the moon, and all of that. currently, none of these countries are, you know, looking in the direction. And I don't want to say they are not, you know, exactly interested in it, but maybe there is no aspect of this kind of project that interests them at this moment. Some of the countries can, you know, probably afford, you know, some of these missions. We have, you know, you have countries like Egypt, like South Africa, like Nigeria, you know, that are the biggest spender and spend like hundreds of millions of dollars in space investment every year. So they can probably afford, you know, some of this. But is it a priority to them? The answer to that is no.
Interesting. So does it reach the general public? Does it? I'm sure you get the news. Does it inspire or motivate the general public in any way, or is it just not something of even in interest in the general public?
So when you say the general public, you know, you're saying, oh, you know, majority, maybe are the majority of the population talking about this? The answer to that is no. I mean, there are few people that are interested in this subject. You know, there are even few people in Africa that are, you know, that are waiting for the likes of, you know, SpaceX and Blue Origin and the like to, you know, get their space tourism thing working so that they can, you know, enjoy flight to space and things like that. But is that like a topic that the national, that, you know, that a nation is interested in? Not exactly. Are there people that can afford some of these and some of these, you know, kind of missions, or are there countries that can afford some of these missions in Africa? The answer is yes. Is there a priority to them? The answer is no. So there's a difference between, you know, between that. Yeah, you know, people have these conversations, but it's not, you know, it's not like, for example, it's not in any of these countries' national plan or agenda to go to the moon or something, or to go to Mars, or to another planet. It's not on the agenda. I mean, tomorrow, a new president can come into any of these countries and say, oh, yeah, I want to make it my priority. But at this moment, this is not a priority to any of these countries. And even if you look at the, if you look at the African space strategy and policy, that has also been implemented by the African Union Commission, you know, this is not a priority. The priority is capitalizing on space technologies to address developmental challenges in African countries. The priorities of the African Space Agency is how can, you know, African countries come together and utilize space technologies and space resources to solve some of the problems that they're facing. So whether it's insecurity, whether it's disaster, you know, these like, you know, flooding and drought issues in some of these countries, the goal is, hey, how do we come together, you know, whether come together to develop technologies or come together and develop a data sharing policy, you know, that, you know, Egypt can launch a satellite and actually share the data with all the other countries, or South Africa, and they can do this, and all some of these countries can come together and develop a satellite that provides, you know, key resources to these countries and share the data. These are the priorities of the African Space Agency. The priority is not, hey, how do we send the first African to the moon or to the International Space Station? But, you know, individual countries like Nigeria and Egypt, like I mentioned, they're thinking of this. I mean, of course, having an African astronaut is good. It's going to help with outreach. There's going to be like, you know, someone that people can look up to, you know, young Africans, can look at, you know, an African astronaut and say, oh yeah, if this person can do this, I can also do that. You know, someone that inspired them and, you know, give them the chance to dream and all of that. So that is good. That is important. But it's not a priority for most of this country.
Do the countries in Africa compete with one another in space, or they sort of all work together as part of the same organization? Or do you see a lot of competition?
No, I don't think there is. I don't think there is competition. You know, people always use this terminology of Africa space race. But the truth is there is no space race in Africa because, you know, there is no, it's, the goal is not competition, right? You know, South Africa is not trying to be better than Egypt or something. You know, countries are just, you know, developing the program that suits, you know, that suits their needs. There is no, I don't think there is competition. These countries are always coming together to do stuff. You know, there has, I mean, there has, there's been like a lot of projects, you know, that, you know, individual countries even like spearhead. An example is the Africa Resource Management Constellation project that, countries like Nigeria, South Africa, Algeria and Kenya, you know, they came together and say, oh, you know what, let's all launch one satellite each that will form a constellation so that we can share the data of all of these, satellites with each other. So, you know, African countries have been doing that for, you know, more than a decade. You know, the African Space Policy and Strategy before it was passed, you know, these countries had to come together to, you know, decide what is important for the continent. And, you know, they all work together on this. And then you've got like other programs and other projects, you know, ongoing on the continent that's bringing all of these countries together. So the goal is to work together to, you know, maybe achieve a common goal and objective. The goal is not, oh, how do we compete and be better than you? Or how do we, you know, that's not. For example, I made mention of the Global Monitoring of the Environment and Security Project. The project is being implemented in 45 countries across 5 regions. So in each of the regions, you have institutions that, you know, that came together to form a consortium. So they have to work together, and then implement the project and, you know, address, you know, similar, you know, problems that are similar to each region. So this is how, what the landscape is like in Africa.
Really interesting. Listeners, we are approaching our 60-minute show, but the phone line is still available. There is time if you want to get a call in over and above your emails that you're sending in. Again, it is toll-free 1-866-687-7223. And then in addition, you can email us, drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. And you could also post comments on our blog. Go all the way over to the far right side for the upcoming show menu and click on the first show listed. That is our program with Tim Adayo. And you scroll down to the bottom and you'll see a place for posting your comments or questions. As soon as you do that, I'll get a copy of it and can bring it up on air. But there is time if you would like to call us. We are a talk show and I do this all the time. Drive for giving us a call. This and driving for funding and contribution supports for the space show, they seem to be what I spend a lot of time on. 1-866-687-7223. Tim Adayo, first of all, does the African Space Program have a website that people can log on to and learn more, or newsletters or anything like that where they can stay involved and see what's happening there on a regular basis?
Yes, you know, they can check our website, spaceinafrica.com.
Spaceinafrica.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And
we do you and we also have, you know, we also have like, you know, a lot of reports and resources that, you know, people can check out. We've got reports on like different segments of the industry. Some of these reports are free. People can, you know, check out these reports to have a better understanding of what's going on in Africa.
Do you have, I mean, it seems to me like there are countries in Africa that would be great places to launch rockets. Does anyone have any plan to build a launch facility, or does any other rocket company plan to come to Africa to put a launch port or a spaceport in Africa?
Yes, this is actually, you know, one of the, new segments that is, that a lot of opportunities are showing up in. So we have, in decades ago, countries used to launch, like, rockets from Africa, before independence of some of these countries. And then most of these countries, so you have, like, countries like South Africa, countries like Kenya, countries like Algeria that were, you know, hosting, like, rocket launch sites for the likes of France, the likes of Italy, and the likes back then. And then, after independence, they handed over some of these facilities to these countries. And frankly speaking, for most of these countries, they've not really had any use for most of these facilities. Most of these facilities are, moribund now. Recently, Italy signed a new agreement with Kenya, for example, to resume the use of the launch facility that is in Kenya. The new agreement is more or less like, Italy is open to, start launching rockets again from Kenya. They're paying Kenya some amount of money annually to use the facility. We're beginning to see, that kind of outside interest to come to Africa to launch. Earlier this year, the president of Turkey, he announced a plan to invest $1 billion in Turkey's space program so that the country can go to the moon. And as part of that plan, one of the things that they have plans of doing is building a launch site in Somalia. They're trying to invest like $350 million in building this facility. Because Turkey has identified that, Somalia is probably a better place for us to, launch some of these, these payloads, rather than doing that in their country. So we're seeing like, foreign countries looking back at Africa. We've also had conversation with an American company, for example, that is exploring the use of, Kenya to launch their payload. They're trying to develop their rocket systems and all of that. But in terms of, African countries are actually doing this. Not really. So I mentioned that Nigeria and South Africa are two countries that have some national plans for rocket program. And South Africa's rocket program is domiciled in one of the universities, and it's being funded by the Space Agency and the Department of Science and Technology. They're using one of those facilities to test their rocket. The last time they had a launch, they were able to hit the 18 kilometers mark, making it like, that was like the highest height any African made rocket has reached. Nigeria is testing its own rockets in a facility in Ekpe, a few kilometers away from Lagos. They've also been able to test a few of their rockets, and they've not been able to pass the 10-kilometer margin. These are the only efforts that we have so far, from Africa.
Where do you see Africa for space in 5 years or 10 years? Can you project it out? Do you have a pretty good idea of where space in Africa will be in 5 or 10 years?
Yes. So, in the next 5 years, in the next 5 years, Africa, the satellites that will have been launched by these countries will be between the range of 150 to 200. More than 20 African countries would have also launched a satellite, so which will mean that more than 20 countries will be developing a space program. A continentally driven space program would also be in motion by then. We'll see, the ecosystem growing, more companies coming up. And then, you know, by then we expect that the revenue coming generating, you know, generated in the industry by then would be, you know, in the north of $10 billion. We also, you know, as more countries in the program, we expect to see more government budget. But, you know, ultimately, it's not about all of these efforts. It's about, you know, how it's important, all of this investment and all technologies are actually, you know, addressing major problems on the continent, you know, on a very large scale. So we, for me, I think in the next 5 years, we should see a better continent, you know, as a result of, you know, capitalizing on business satellite technologies.
What about 10 years? Can you go out that far? Any reasonable ideas of what space in Africa will look like in 10 years?
Wow, 10 years. That's, well, I think in 10 years, hopefully Africa would be able to launch its payload from its side. Hopefully majority of the, you know, the satellite project, instead of working or relying on partners, you know, they would have the capacity to develop the technology from ground up. So satellites would be manufactured, be tested, and be launched from African soil. I think that's an important milestone, and I believe that's something that can be achieved in the next 10 years. I also think in 10 years, there's a lot of ongoing effort to improve capacity development in the industry ecosystem. So, for example, as part of the plan for the African Space Agency is also a Pan-African University of Space Science and Technology. So this university is supposed to provide you know, training, as well as award degrees in some of these important, you know, subjects as they relate to space. So, in 10 years, Africans would be able to, you know, whatever they want to study, they would be able to do that in Africa. Yeah, I think in 10 years, Africa would be less dependent on other regions when it comes to its space industry.
Has there been anything we should have talked about over the last hour about space in Africa? Have we left anything out? Is there something else we should focus on or keep our eyes on, for example, pay attention to, maybe for the rest of this year or going into next year?
Well, I just want to make comments that I think it's important for, you know, the U.S., you know, the government as well as commercial companies in the U.S. to pay more attention to Africa, you know, not just for, you know, the not just for business opportunities in the African space and satellite industry, but at the same time, because of, you know, diplomacy reasons and, you know, because space plays an important role in, you know, national diplomacy and establishing good relationships between countries. You know, Europe has been doing a lot of it, and, you know, it's been beneficial for both Europe and Africa. China is also beginning to do this. There's a lot of collaboration going on among African countries. And China, Russia has also done this. They're doing this. Russia is currently working with Angola and Tunisia, for example. Even Japan, you know, has, you know, they've seen that it's important to, you know, have a good relationship with African countries. And one of the ways to do that is via collaborations in the space industry. So I think it's important for the U.S. to also pay more attention to Africa, you know, pay more attention to working with individual countries, you know, business relationship, diplomacy relationship, you know, and at the same time also pay more attention to working with, you know, the African Union Commission, especially as they set up plans for a continental space program.
What is your PhD in that you're working on at the University of Delaware?
My PhD research is at the very early stage. You know, my work is in studying and understanding more about how developing countries are using space technology.
Do you plan to go back to Africa when you get your PhD, or Europe, or what? Do you know what your plans are yet?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm in America studying Space in Africa is registered in Nigeria. We're an African company. We also recently registered in Estonia, so we're also technically an European company. So I'm just in America to get a degree. I have a business in Africa, and I'll be going back.
Now, as I recall, you're in Nigeria. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm from Nigeria.
Okay, maybe you can help get their cell phone service better. So I can do shows with more people from Africa, because I've had problems, not just when I was trying to do it with you, but with others. Even in South Africa, I've had problems. So maybe Starlink or something like that will come in. Is Starlink a possibility for Africa? What can you say before we close out about something like either OneWeb or Starlink offering perhaps better broadband service than what you have in some areas?
The two companies, they are looking at Africa. Starlink already announced that their services should be available in Africa, I think starting from Nigeria in late 2021 and then early 2022. OneWeb, even before they went bankrupt, you know, Africa did sign like several agreements with a lot of ISP and resellers and all across Africa. Whoever is trying to like develop, communication, satellite communication services, you have to think about Africa because that's where the biggest need is. And, if you're trying to develop a global solution and you're not thinking of that continent, then you're not serious with business. And, the likes of Intelsat, Eutelsat, SES, they've understood this and, they're making like, good amount of money offering the products and services in Africa. The only problem that I think that, Starlink might have in Africa might be maybe around their price, their pricing. Because I understand that they're trying to run a global pricing strategy where, whatever you pay in Europe is probably the same thing you pay in America and Africa. And I think, that might actually not work in Africa.
It's the people I know that are testing it in the United States, in remote northern areas like North Dakota and places like that, it's very expensive. So you have to get the equipment to communicate with Starlink. So that's, as I recall people telling me, that's between $600 and $700 or something on that order, just to get, the equipment to connect.
Yeah.
Then there's a monthly fee, and I'm trying to remember what my friends in Montana told me.
I think it's $99
or something. I was going to say $150, but either way, that's a lot of money per month, especially if you're in a developing country.
Yeah. So, if they are targeting, a few, few people in Africa, yeah, that could work. There's there are people that can afford that in Africa. But if you're looking at, developing a technology or providing a service that would bridge the digital divide in Africa, then that price point is not going to work. And that's something that I think that they need to understand.
Last year during the pandemic, I did two shows with two different companies in Europe. One was in Spain, and I don't remember where the other one was, but they were raising money, and they all had backgrounds in this, so I have no reason to believe that they didn't complete their funding. And they were building 5G satellite constellations for Europe and Africa, and that was their market. Two different companies, and there was a little bit of a different approach to both of those companies. So have you seen anything for Africa about European countries coming in with 5G broadband types of services in satellite constellations?
I don't know if one of the companies that you mentioned is Sky and Space, Sky and Space Global was trying to do that, but I think they declared bankruptcy last year. They were only able to launch, a few prototypes of their product. I think they went public and, they were unable to complete what they were trying to spend. They were based in the UK or something. I think whoever is trying to address this, personally, I think, the satellite communications market in Africa is a very wide market. I mean, FSS and MSS generates about $1 billion annually in Africa presently. And, you know, that is more than half of Africa is unconnected. And there is no way fiber connectivity is going to serve that market because the governments are not interested in investing in this. So it provides a very good opportunity for, you know, satellite communications company, and, you know, you can bridge this gap. The population is wide, you know, and, you know, we're talking of a lot of very young people. You know, aside from the fact that this is going to be extremely beneficial to the continent, you know, it will also provide a lot of business, you know, business revenue for whoever is actually able to bridge this gap on a large scale. Companies like Eutelsat have been doing a lot of work in Africa. Intelsat, these companies make over $100 million in revenue from Africa every year. You know, so they understand the business and all of these, you know, they are even dependent on their geostationary orbiting satellite. So, but the new set of companies that we're seeing that are, you know, doing low Earth orbit and all of that, they need to understand, you know, what is wrong in the market first. They need to understand why companies like SES, companies like Intelsat and Eutelsat are not able to solely bridge this gap. We even have African-based companies like Nilesat. Nilesat makes about, you know, $120 million selling their product and service. We have NICOMs that also in Nigeria. Algeria has also developed its own communication satellite. Angola is also working on its own. So there's like a lot of players, you know, around the market, but it's like all of them are trying to do the same thing, and they're not, you know, they're not trying to like reinvent the wheel. But, you know, whoever is able to crack that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for them. And I think, you know, Starlink, for example, is one where they're trying to like, you know, play in this space. I think it's important for them to first understand what is not working, understand the problem, so that they can tailor their solutions to that.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow and see how it works. Please keep me posted on things that are developing, and we can always make announcements with you and do some follow-up programming down the road. But it's good to finally be able to have this opportunity to talk about space in Africa on the Space Show, and I'm glad I found out that you were in the United States, and I hope that we get a chance to talk again. When do you complete your studies?
I don't have a day yet, but you know, I'm in the U.S. for a while now, so you know, we can touch base maybe again at the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of exciting things that are going to happen in the industry before that period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted, and I'll look forward to it. And stay well and healthy, and study hard. And I look forward to talking to you some more about space in Africa.
Thank you very much. It was nice chatting.
And
enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay. And listeners, that's it for today. So I want to thank everyone for their emails. And I want to thank Tim Adio. And then Wayne White should be here with us on Sunday about the Space Pioneer Act. Involves property rights, commercial space development, and much more. Everybody have a great weekend. Please be safe, stay healthy, and as always, keep looking up. Once again, goodbye from Tim Adio, David, and The Space Show.